Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. Thanks for joining me and Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mylon Yurkovich. And today, hi guys.
Hi. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Steve. Great to be with you and Jill.
Yep.
And my good friend and colleague, guy that I've traveled literally all over the world with, Jim Burns is with us. Jim, how are you?
Steve, great to be with you. And I didn't know you had these other two special people, too. So that's a big deal to me.
Hey, hi, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, Jim, how are you?
I hang out with special people.
Good.
Yeah, and you are one of the most special people. And Jim, you're here talking to us right now because you're part of maybe the main thing of Fearless Parenting, October 2nd, the workshop we're doing for parents. And let's just throw it out there. Why is it more difficult, Jim, to prepare a child for teenage years than ever before?
Well, I mean, we were 6, 8, 11, 13, but we were never their age because they experienced so much so young. And so as we'll talk about, you know, in Fearless Parenting, we've got to deal with issues that we didn't have to deal with before, or we have to deal with issues at a younger age. So, you know, back in the days, the olden days when I was a teenager, I wasn't dealing with the things that today a fifth grader is dealing with, or maybe sometimes even younger. So, you know, and parents, you know, they want to be fearless, but there's a lot of fear out there because there's a lot of confusion.
Yeah. Mylon was saying, I think, what is it you were saying before we came on, Mylon, about?
I was just going to say there's no such thing as fearless parenting. It's a white knuckler. I mean, it evokes every single thing in you.
Right?
It's a roller coaster, and it reaches down inside, and it grabs your history and often terrifies us.
Mm-hmm. We had a choice between fearless parenting or scared to death parenting, and we went with fearless there.
I think
with the folks that we've got on this workshop, people are going to come away with some tools and some insights that they need and maybe they don't have. Jim, when you're teaching and you've done so many great books, one of them, The Purity Code, our 22-year-old James, he is the man he is because of that book in large part. But what is something from your teaching that you love to be able to communicate to parents?
Well, it's a great question. I love to tell people that the more positive, value-centered sex education they get from their parents, the less permissive they'll be and the less confused.
Yeah.
The problem is, you know, when we go back to our history, and I know Mylon and Kay are going to talk about this at Fearless Parenting, but when we go back to our history, most of us didn't have our parents talk to us about sex and sexuality, especially from a value-centered or purposeful.
Mm-hmm.
So the good news is this, Steve, and it's going to be awkward, but if we have those conversations with our kids, again, it doesn't mean that they're all going to make great decisions, but it does mean that there's a greater chance that they will be less promiscuous, that they will be less confused. So we just have to do it. Swallow alert. All of my kids said, Dad, when you talk to us about, you know, sex, you were awkward.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I was doing that as a youth worker, you know, to kids all the time.
Right.
But you just have those conversations. You have the dialogue. And it's not a one-topic thing. It's a process. And the decisions kids make about their sexuality now from a young age, I think really influences the way they'll live with their family life, their marriages, their future marriages, their relationships, their relationship with God. So much.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jim, I'm so glad you're joining us. And, you know, if any child goes into the teen years and they aren't being trained in the area of self-discipline, impulsivity, delayed gratification. If they don't have some of that under their belt there, it's not going to be good, and we're going to help them with that. Look forward to being with you on Fearless Parenting, October 2nd.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. We had Jim Burns on tomorrow. Ron Deal, many of you know him from Family Life Today and his great ministry to step parents, blended families, all of those kinds of things. And so we'll have Ron on tomorrow. Always love being with him. Great man of integrity, credibility. And he's not in a blended family or a step family, and yet he really felt called by God that this is the area he wanted to focus on, and I'm glad that he has. Big, big help. So many blended families. I mean, they're not really blended. They're kind of mixed up. So he's going to give us some help tomorrow. But right now, we're going to go to the phones. 1-800-229-3000. That's 1-800-229-3000 is our phone number. Reggie has called that number. He listens on KKLA. And Reggie, how are you today? What's going on?
I'm doing okay, guys. How are you?
Doing all right. Big weekend, and here we are. How could we help today?
Okay, so I've been listening to you guys for, I wouldn't want to say, 3 years now, and I finally got the courage to actually go ahead and call.
Okay.
So today, my question for you guys is, how can I move past fear and anxiety, just in life? So a little bit of a backstory. So I still currently live with my parents. I'm 31. And I feel like I've missed that rite of passage or that threshold where you kind of like leave the nest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like I have like a fear of life. Like, mm-hmm. I just, like, I have a fear. It's just like it's fear and anxiety. The fear and anxiety was kind of based from porn. I've struggled with porn since I was a very young age. And I want to say maybe like 10 or 11. Struggled with it from then until now. And I'm starting to get out of it a little bit. I'm realizing that it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm craving connection with real people. But because of the anxiety, I don't know how to like, I don't know how to switch it off.
Mm.
So because of the porn, I sexualize people, or I don't know how to develop. I don't know how to associate with people without sex, if that makes any sense.
Okay, so here's the thing, Reggie, you are very aware of the problems, mm-hmm. that you have. You're aware of that, right? I mean, that's good. That's good. And you're calling us because it sounds like you want things to be better. That's what you're saying here, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, aware, you want change. But there's one other thing that you've got to finally do for this to get better. Because, you know, one of the most anxiety-producing emotions down under is the emotion of shame. And when we do stuff that produces shame, you know, we may not really understand it, but it produces a real discomfort that you could say, well, it's just kind of like an unnamed anxiety. The other thing is, when we're using pornography, our mood is altered. We become dependent on an altered mood, even addicted. And so when we are full of shame because we're doing something that we know we shouldn't do, and then we're not doing it, it's like we're in withdrawal. We're driven back to it. So there's the anxiety. And that is going to continue until this third element comes, and it's this one. willingness. You have to be willing to do what you know you need to do. You know you have to stop the porn, right? Because you're saying, yes, I'm afraid of other people. I don't want to be anxious around other people. Well, the longer you stick with that relationship with pornography that dehumanizes everybody, the more your relationships are in the pornographic world, the less you will ever be able to relate effectively, compassionately, intimately with real-life human beings. So you got to get to every man's battle. You have to go there. If you want to stop the anxiety, first you have to start with what you know you can deal with, and that's the pornography. Secondly, well, I'll let Jill and Mylon take it from here.
So, Reggie, I'm going to take a leap here. I'm going to venture to say that probably your home growing up was also filled with anxiety and fear. And when we have a home where the message is the outside world is a scary place, right? We have a hard time venturing out. And at 10 years old, you found something to soothe yourself. Mm-hmm. Something that could help to contain you. Because if you had fearful or anxious parents, and sometimes it's not always overt and noticeable, but kids feel their parents. They sense the anxiety from them and the hesitancy about life. And so what happens too, so you found this thing that could soothe you and contain you, but what any addiction does is it emotionally stunts our growth. It keeps us younger than our chronological age. And so it then perpetuates itself, which is this feeling now you are very aware of, as Steve pointed out, that you're 31, you're still living at home, you've missed the normal rite of passage of leaving home. So the thing is, you can catch up if you are willing to step out. Steve gave you a great way to start. It's a way to help to launch you and by that immersion in the Everyman's Battle workshop. And everybody there is afraid and anxious. So you will be in good company. And the thing, I remember someone told me one time, the thing about being an adult is, of course, you might be afraid, you might be fearful, you might be anxious, but you need to do whatever you need to do anyway. And a lot of times with addiction, we think we need to wait until we feel calm before we act. And that just isn't true. We have to feel the feelings and take a step anyway. So yeah. I guess that speaks to the willingness that Steve was talking about. Right. Are you willing to do that, Reggie?
You do it afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do it afraid, you never do it. Mylon, what are your thoughts here for Reggie?
Well, both you, Steve, and Jill did a wonderful job of sharing with Reggie some important truths. And I don't think there, you know, Jim spoke about something earlier at the head of the show, that people are experiencing things today that we didn't necessarily experience. I didn't. I believe adulting or turning into an adult has turned into this monumental challenge for a lot of young people. It's difficult. So I empathize with you, Reggie, and because it is very challenging. Everything wants to keep us little in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, something that deeply affected me a long time ago when I was in my late 30s was Henry Cloud's book, Changes That Heal. I went to a seminar with Henry Cloud and John Townsend when I was in my late 30s, and he talked about grace, truth, and time being the key ingredients to our healing journey. Mm-hmm. It takes lots of grace, it takes a lot of truth and exposure to that truth, and then it takes time, but not time as we know it. And I'm speaking to Jill and Steve's point right now, but Henry makes a distinction on redemptive time. And that is time, right, when you are jumping into the pain, or when you're working on you and you're going to those uncomfortable places outside our comfort zone, that is redemptive time. It is an accelerated time period. I refer to it as kind of like dog years, you know.
Right.
Year we work hard.
It doesn't take as long.
No, it doesn't.
As it did to get here.
It's like seven.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally, Reggie, I felt little inside as a young man and felt like the world was overwhelming. And then one day I remember saying to myself, and I didn't realize it until I was in my 50s. I said, I finally feel like I'm 50 and 50. I'm 50 on the outside and 50 on the inside. Mm-hmm. So I want to encourage you to get Henry's book, Changes a Heel. And he talks about the developmental steps we need to walk through. And Jill's right. Our families can stunt us. They can be the reason. It's not just your fault, Reggie. Your family contributed to your stunted development. And that's not a criticism.
No.
And in some ways, I really want to say, Reggie, it's not your fault. Because you didn't create the environment you grew mm-hmm. up in. And I would agree with Jill. I'm certain there was fear and anxiety in that home, mm-hmm. as there was mine. And therefore, I was difficult. I had a difficult time venturing out. So I really want to encourage you to get Changes That Heal, because it talks about bonding, learning to separate from others, which is your question, integrating good and bad, learning to live in a gray world where nothing, you know, we have to mix good and bad every day, and then mm-hmm. becoming an adult, which is the last section. It's an immensely powerful book and the workbook, and I highly suggest that in addition to everything that Jill and Steve have already said.
Reggie, give me two really good reasons not to be part of every man's battle.
So I guess the first reason would be, you know, kind of financially strapped right now.
Uh-huh. Okay. And what else?
And that's it pretty much. I would say maybe my work schedule. But you know what? That was just one more thing. I know he's probably have to get off really soon. But that's something else, too, that I'm struggling with currently is, like, I have this, like, fear. Like, again, it's still fear. I've been in the same job for 5 years. Like, currently, I live an hour outside of Los Angeles, and I commute for an hour to go to work,
right,
an hour to come back, and
Reggie,
don't even want to go, you know?
Yeah. So you begin by clearing up your thought life. That begins at every man's battle. I want you to hold on, because guess what? We have scholarships that take care of folks who need it
mm-hmm.
but can't afford it. And so that's what we're going to do. We'll get a scholarship for you. You'll go. We'll follow up with you. We'll see how things go. But you're going to have to do some really uncomfortable things if you want things to be better.
And really, it's a day off work, right? Or an afternoon, depending on the location of it, right? Because it's a Friday through Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. Unless you work weekends, Reggie. And here's the thing. You're afraid and you're feeling stuck. So you need something outside of yourself to help you. And that's what we're offering you, is to go to a place where people understand this and will love you and help you through it.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I think sometimes we say to God, oh, I want this to change. And mm-hmm. I don't think God says this, but it's like, maybe if God was human, he would say, yeah, I've heard that before, but what are you going to do? And many times we are waiting for God to do what God has told us to do, wants us to do, is waiting for us to do. And we say, well, I'm waiting on the Lord. No, you're using that as an excuse to do nothing. And I don't know if you've ever read the book, The Road to Success with Passivity. It just doesn't exist. Nobody's ever going to write a book on the power of passivity. It isn't going to happen. So we've got to do the bold thing, the uncomfortable thing. All right, if you want to join us on the program, we'll be in the studio another 1 hour, 40 minutes. It's 1-800-229-3000. Big thank you to every person that supports this ministry. If you support us, a gift of any amount, I'll send you Dave Stoops' last book he wrote, Living Strong and Finishing Well. It's a great book, really a great book by a great man. We miss him terribly.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a break. We'll come right back. I hope if you need help getting into one of our intensives, like the October 2nd, Fearless Parenting, or Intimacy in Marriage, coming right up. You'll call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. In the meantime, stay tuned. We'll be back after this. Our phone number, 1-800-229-3000.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free, 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard, Milan Jurgovich, and now Larry Sonnenberg. Larry, how you doing?
Doing good, Steve. Thanks.
You're in early today. You must have something very exciting, or you're just anxious or something like that. I don't know. What is it?
Lisa had me scheduled for this hour. I just caught it at the last minute.
So. Awesome. Okay, well, what do you have for us today, Larry?
Well, I've got a testimony that actually points to a, you know, we get a lot of testimonies and written into us, and so many of them are radio and workshops and it's a variety, so I want to read one to you.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, after many years of infidelity and drug and alcohol abuse, I was faced with sad truth. I lacked the moral structure to turn from my demons. Although I found a gospel-preaching church, I later discovered I had an adult child out of wedlock. Admission brought many tears, much brokenness in our family. I attended every man's battle in Washington, D.C. reluctantly, but knew almost immediately I fit in and I needed counseling and I needed repentance and change. By God's grace, we both traveled to meet my other son. We're staying in touch with him, staying in recovery groups, and serving God in ways we're called.
Wow.
It all started with the launching received through every man's battle.
Wow.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, New Life. Thank you, worthy of our trust. So, folks.
I love that. You know what I love is incorporating and integrating that child into their lives, both of them, versus just saying, well, too late now.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
It is.
That is awesome.
Folks, your financial support enables all that. It's radio mm-hmm. that really makes this happen. And we can't do radio without your support.
No.
And we love what we do. We love watching the Holy Spirit do what he does. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. So your support will just be out of this world for us. And guys, attend every man's battle. This man went reluctantly, thought it was probably a waste of time in his mind, and it changed his life. So, mm-hmm.
So Larry, I got some questions for you. Today, New Life compared to 5 years ago, stronger or weaker?
Oh my gosh, we're so much stronger today.
Yeah.
We have been clinging on for dear life for too long, and now we're alive and booming. It feels really good.
Yeah. Opportunities, more or less, that are coming our way today versus 5 years ago?
Well, if you want to take the next hour to talk about it, we can talk about it.
Yeah.
We've got some great opportunities that will change a lot of things in people's lives in different ways that we never saw even just a few weeks ago. It was
it's true.
Not on the radar.
Yeah. I've said over and over again, here we are, you know, we've been around almost 35 years. But it feels like we're just getting started because there's a whole new group of folks coming in under new leadership. And and I'm so excited about some of the things literally that you couldn't explain it any other way other than God landing it right in the lap of New Life. And I appreciate all you've done to get us here, Larry. But anybody else, if you can help us, we've never done anything alone. It's always been with partners like you. And if you can help us, please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Steve, last thing. I've always sensed God's hand on this ministry, even in the struggling times. But I've never felt it more powerfully as what's going on right now in New Life.
Yeah.
So thank you, everybody.
And if I might add, Steve offered to send Reggie from L.A. to Every Man's Battle as a scholarship. And the reason we can do that is just because of what you said, Larry, the privilege of being supported by people who are benevolent and loving and want to support the good things this ministry does.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, please, please call us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Gift of any amount. Living Strong, Finishing Well by Dr. Dave Stoop. Right now, let's go back to our phones. Let's talk to Tammy. Calling from Orlando, Florida. Hi, Tammy. How are you?
Well, hi. I'm good.
Good.
I woke
How
up.
Can we
I'm
help?
Happy about that.
Oh, yes. Hey, that is so true.
Simple
good
miracles,
job.
Right?
Yeah. I have another day.
I'm a nurse. So
well, thank you for that.
I wake up and I realized I woke up again.
Yes.
Well, and that's actually why I'm calling. I couldn't even really form a question. Maybe you can help me dig a question out. But I, like all of the nurses, have. And I'm going to try really hard not to cry, but I don't realize until I talk about it how much it upsets me. But I've been at the bedside since this happened. COVID.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I work in end-of-life hospice, which is sad. I mean, we work with broken hearts. We don't sit around and cry at work because that's not our job. Our job is to support our patients and their families and to do symptom management for whatever their end-of-life illness is. And if it's COVID, they can have some very specific and terrifying symptoms, but through the marvelous physicians we have, we are able to manage their symptoms so they don't struggle.
So tell us what rate, how's that impacting struggle. You? How is that impacting you?
Well, it's under normal circumstances, it's very difficult. But with COVID, because we started out so compromised, and we've any of us who've been in this for any length of time, some of the nurses I work with were here during HIV. They were here for SARS-1 outbreak. We've worked for all these outbreaks, and now we see we were heroes working
Tammy.
With inappropriate and inadequate. Yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt you, but the music is playing. I've got to take a break. I don't have any choice whatsoever. I'd like to have choice, but I don't. So hang on. We'll get to what you called about right after this. You're listening to New Life Live.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life Member Thank You Gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life Grocery Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits, like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Dave Thornton there in Dallas said, "Wow, I'm looking at you on the YouTube there. You've got a big old bruise on your right knuckle." No, that's ink. I use fountain pen. It's a problem. I'll get it cleaned up. All right. We're back to Tammy. Tammy, you work in hospice. You're a nurse. COVID has made things worse. What's the question for us? How could we help you in really a tough, tough time for you? How could we help?
Well, just processing all of this. And I can speak for the nurses I've talked to, but many of us don't feel that we have the support of, in any way, have the support of our administration.
Mm-hmm.
But
mouth,
you know, they speak it, but it doesn't. While we were at the bedside, they were home in their pajama bottoms doing, virtual meetings.
Right. Okay, so is there anything specifically you were hoping... Okay. Is there anything you were hoping we could help you with specifically? Because we'd like to do that. And I hope that you've got somebody that you can talk with and share this stuff with that can be supportive and help you get through this. Because if you don't, that's got to be horrible right there. Jill, you had a thought?
Yeah. I had a thought for you, Tammy, because you are in a very difficult line of work that's very like underappreciated. Nobody knows what it's like to be on the front lines every single day. And you're right. Certainly the hierarchy, I've worked in hospitals, the hierarchy, the greater the degree, the farther you are away from the patient. And so you deserve a lot of appreciation, and I'm glad you're voicing this lack of acknowledgement. I think not unlike us as therapists, we hear a lot. We hear everything you could even imagine, right? And we have to contain all of that. And that's a lot. And sometimes it's a lot of really sad, heavy stuff. One of the things I know that we do as therapists is we often talk amongst ourselves. And I hear that you're doing that. But over the years, I have done support groups with therapists, with other therapists, because we understand the work that we do, and we help each other contain what we're experiencing. And so that's one of the things would be maybe you have two or three other nurses that you guys meet on a regular basis, you know, a weekly basis, just to support one another in this field. As well as the fact that, Tammy, I think there's a lot of grief here, dealing with dying every single day and people's heavy hearts. And in addition to other people in the field, I think having a therapist, perhaps, where you can just talk about these things. And like you said, the need to process. You do need to process. It's really important. And in a sense, you're also like a first responder. Right? Again, someone on the front lines. And we need some place to unload this so that we don't burn out.
Mm-hmm. Mylon, you have a thought?
Well, Tammy, I want you to think of yourself as a person who is traumatized. We speak of trauma in two regards. One is the big T traumas, where a big event is incredibly traumatic. And then sort of a small T, a series of chronic traumatizations in a string or a row that are all connected together. Both of them are very unsettling and really cause a lot of distress to our being. And so to think of yourself as traumatized, I can't imagine doing what you do. It is... I know we see, Jill, you said this, we see so much pain emotionally and historically as we look at people's lives. But for you guys to really be there all the time, watching this day by day by day by day, and then having, in many cases, having to work in very almost inhumane circumstances, having to be that connection that the family, because in some cases a family can't be there. All to say, Jill is right, you need a support base, but I really want you to be thinking of yourself as being traumatized, because I feel like you're kind of stalled out a little bit, and which happens when we're traumatized. We don't know what to do. We're just sort of spinning, and we just don't know quite what step to take. And our hearts go out to you, Tammy, and all other people like you who are working in this world. So I really want to encourage you to get in a trauma group also, or a group that could help you process the heaviness of this loss.
Yeah, we need you, mm-hmm. and we mm-hmm. appreciate you.
Yes.
You know, somebody explained it to me like this: when you're dealing with constant death, families that are grieving along with death, it's like, you know, if somebody tossed a basketball to you, you'd be able to catch that probably. But if they tossed 50 basketballs at you over a period of 30 seconds, you just can't do it. You have to say, I have an extreme limitation here, and only by getting some people to come around me am I going to be able to manage all of these things coming at me. But they don't just come at you, they go inside of you. And you got into this profession because you care. And so I know you feel this stuff deeply. I'm going to send you a copy of Healing is a Choice. I think that has some great, great choices in there that could move you closer to the healing that God wants for you. And I'll ask everybody to pray for you and everybody in the nursing profession. This has to be a horrific time for all of you. All right. 1-800-229-3000 is the number. Let's go to, well, how about we go to Jill from St. Louis? Hi, Jill. How are you today? What's going on?
No, fine. Thank you. My question is, what do I say to my daughter who just lost her husband, like, on a motorcycle accident a week or so ago, and they've been married 20 years.
Wow.
And they have two sons, 9 and 14.
Mm.
No, he's 15. He just had a birthday 2 days ago. So he's buried his father, and 3 days later he has his 15th birthday. And she, my daughter, lost her dad a little over six and a half years ago.
You're saying, what do you say to her?
Yes. What do I say to her? It's always, I'm sorry, and.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have to be going through this. He was young,
I think there's not really much that can be said that's any better than just being there. You know, just being with her.
There's no way to relieve the anguish.
Mm-mm.
But I think...
She's heartbroken, yeah.
Yeah, of course. So it's important to not hurry her along. Let her have her grief. Let her have her deep feelings. And it may be hard to sit with her with that. But it's really important that you tolerate it. And not try to give any, you know, little quips or pat answers.
You don't have to.
That feels dismissive and like you're minimizing it, right? So the grief is very real for her, and she just needs a mom who will emotionally wrap her arms around her and just be there to hear whatever, wherever she's at. You just hear it.
Yeah, there's a phenomenal lesson to be learned from Jesus. When Lazarus died, all he did was sit with Mary and Martha and cry with them. And it's a powerful passage because he didn't say a word. And then when Job lost his whole family, he had friends that sat with him for a length of time and didn't say anything. And that was good. They didn't say anything. But his friends got in trouble, and so did Job, when they started, at the end of a period of time, they started offering reasons and rationale and why this may have happened, and they started trying to put explanations to it all. And God then intervenes and says, who is this that darkens counsel? You know, why are these people talking? And so not talking, empathizing, and just being with instead of trying to feel like you have an answer is the most important thing. Just give her a hug. Tell her I'm with you. Just sit with her and be quiet and let her cry and hold her hand.
You know, it's kind of a dichotomy. You don't want to be alone in your agony, but you also don't want to be talking to somebody or them talking to you. You just want to know somebody's there for me, and then you're able to listen to them. I've got a grief workbook and a Bible that goes with it. I'll send it to you. I wouldn't give it to her today. Mm-hmm. I would wait. But I'll ask everybody to pray for you and for her. So sorry for tough loss.
And we're sorry you lost your son-in-law.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And your husband.
And your husband 6 years ago.
Thank you.
We'll take a break. We'll come right back after this. You're listening to New Life Live.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Jill Hubbard. We thank you all that support us, allow us to be here. Don't forget Fearless Parenting, Preparing for the Teen Years, October the 2nd. That's online, Every Man's Battle. That is in person in Atlanta, October 8th through the 10th. Scholarships available. Then the following weekend, Intimacy and Marriage. It's in person in Dallas, October 15th through 17th. Please come join us. Everything could be different, but you have to be willing to step out. Not easy. All right, let's go to Alan. Alan is calling us here. I think Alan is calling us from Fremont, California, a KFAX listener. Hi, Alan, how are you?
I'm fine, just letting some traffic go by me so I can hear.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
I'm not at home. It's kind of hard to be at home and do this.
Okay.
I'm talking because Mylan is on, and he talked on, I think I wrote down as the, where is it, July 9th, and about adverse childhood experience. It's not that so much. That might have something to do with what I'm going through, but he was talking about my primary HMO was who is working with. I'm not going to say, I won't say it, but it stands for KP. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
KP?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So I've got a problem. I've had it for a very long time. I have this disgusting sin in me that evolved from the time I was age of 10 in my brain. Not so much actively doing it. It was a very slow process. It started when my mother caught me in her bedroom with kind of like a girlfriend. I didn't know what sex was. We were kissing or something like that. And she said, don't you ever let her touch you like that again. Next day, we're over at her friend's house, my mother's friend's house down the block. Little girl, a year younger than me, puts her arms on me, and she said, "Don't you ever let her touch you like that again." And so I've been basically from that age. I'm 10, and she was 9, pushing myself away from that kind of atmosphere. So eventually, I had feelings for guys because I was pushing myself. So I didn't want to. My mother was traumatized because my dad was an alcoholic and all this other stuff. So pushing myself away. And in high school, I noticed a couple times when it's in an upstairs window, I wasn't looking at girls. I was looking at the guys. But I didn't have any. I didn't really know what erroneous zones were. I really didn't. Or not, whatever they're called.
Erogenous zones.
And then
zones.
One time I was. Yeah, that it is. Okay. And then I went into high school and gym one time my freshman year, and I saw this kind of walking down someplace I wasn't normally at, and this guy, I think he's maybe a year older than me, and I looked at him, but I'm looking at his face. Would you just call him erogenous zones?
That's correct.
I wasn't thinking. I was thinking chest up because my grandma said, "This is still in my brain that you know kissing." I thought that's what she said. Kissing causes pregnancy.
So okay, I mean, really so I am almost out of time, buddy. I need you to ask us a question. We can help you with.
I gotta hurry up. I'll try to hurry up. I'll get it over with. Okay.
Yeah, just ask a question.
What happens is
we want to help.
Okay, and I would refer to this. Eventually, doctor, because this Kaiser, I shouldn't say that, because I was going to come across, promotes
okay, but
this homosexuality.
You're going to have to ask us a question really soon. So.
Well, it'd be for Dr. Amon. Can he surgically, like when it says God has this thorn in my flesh or this stake in my flesh, this sin, can he remove it from my flesh or my brain?
That's a good question.
That's what I would ask Dr.
Okay.
That's a great question.
If you can't, then I'll just forget and hang up.
No, hold on. No, don't hang up. Mm-hmm. We'll give you some help here.
So the more difficult, the whole concept of the adverse childhood experiences questionnaire of 10 questions is for us to be able to quantify and qualify the stresses and the difficulties that came upon us in childhood that stick with us. This is different than Paul's thorn in the flesh. It's a different, entirely different thing. And what this is it's a thorn in the psyche brought in by the childhood experiences. It is really adverse things that harm us and can stick with us for a lifetime. So the adverse childhood experience, and I heard what you said about your healthcare coverage of you're wanting to work on attractions that you believe are not right, and you want to work on that. But the group you referenced, you indicated, may not carry a viewpoint that that needs to change. And so I respect that. So you may want to go to something like Every Man's Battle, which is a place where we really talk about what the Bible says about our history, our attractions, our how our brain is formed, and how it is we can work our way out of the miserable place. Mm-hmm. We can tell where you're at. And I'm going to tell you one more thing before I let before I invite others to speak. And I know we're running out of time, mm-hmm. Steve. But Alan, this is not your fault. Mm-hmm. You didn't cause this. And so your job is to grow out of it, but not allow it to cling to you.
Well, and this sounds very traumatic. These experiences, powerful women in your life,
right.
You know, gave you these mandates.
Yeah, mom and grandma.
Right, mm-hmm. right, at an age where it was very impressionable, mm-hmm. and even perhaps humiliating for you,
right.
right? When you were just acting in a way that children do when they're curious and they explore.
So it does make sense that something unhealthy
right.
would come out of
right.
that.
Yeah. So two things. I think Every Man's Battle, because you will experience healthy male connection that is not sexualized. And that's really important and key for you in your recovery. Also, Alan, if you want to make some changes in your life, if something is problematic, unfortunately, we as therapists can't suggest it, but if you ask for it and you say, this is not something I want, a therapist can help you with that. But you have to be the initiator of that.
You have to bring it up.
Yeah.
And the other thing I want to clarify with you, look at all the things that happened here, and now you have a male attraction. That's not a sin in your brain. That's a problem to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to act on an attraction. It's another thing to realize it's there. I don't like it. I want it removed. Well, no one can do, there's not surgery that's going to keep you who you are and remove that. But there are processes, there are connections, programs, principles to be followed that you can have freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You can have freedom in your life. And when you think about how rare life is in the universe, that this is the only place it occurs, you've been given this gift, what a horrible thing that this distortion was caused, this overreaction to just what was normal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not too late. Now, I want you to hold on. I think Every Man's Battle could be a great place for you to start this journey. So hold on. If you want to join us for the next program, 1-800-229-3000. Thank you for joining us. If you need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Mylon. Thank you, Jill. Thanks to all of you. We love you. We care about you. Have a good day today.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.